training pipeline starts with initial skills training, and that's done by Air Education and Training Command at Keesler Air Force Base in Mississippi. The 333rd down there trains all of our new lieutenants, as well as our cross-training enlisted folks, to be cyber operators in the domain. That's our cyber career field. Our cyber career force is made up now of our space intelligence engineers, our cyber warfare operators who will never get to go back to initial skills training because they're too far along in their career. So there's another avenue for them. All the folks meet at our initial qualification training. The course is intermediate network warfare training, and it's a 2-month course held at Hurlburt Field in Florida. So we've taken a lot of folks from the accession, we've whittled that down to a few, put them through INWT, then we whittle them down again to exactly what they're going to be working on once they get to the field for positional training. No kidding, these are the buttons you're going to push, this is how you're going to push them, or this is how you're going to react to them, this is your reporting chain, this is your technology, these are your policies, your tactics, and your methods, and we're going to train you on you and make them a solid piece on that. All that goes toward when they show up at the commander's doorstep on day one, they are within 2 to 3 weeks of being completely a full-up round and able to go mission hot without showing up and, okay, I got 6 to 8 months of training, so I've lost that time. So it's all about being efficient in the Air Force. And if they don't make it through this pipeline, we can put them in another career path and not take away from the commander's operation. We're seeing a lot of people who are changing their focus from management and maintenance of the network to operating inside the network. We need both. I need people to maintain the domain and create it, because we have no job without the maintenance of the network. But there are people who are getting it, and they're producing battle space effects today for U.S. Cybercom.
And how do you decide, what's the process of ingesting folks into these programs? How do you make the determination as to who's going to be a good candidate to be a cyber operator?
So part of it begins at Keesler Air Force Base, where the instructors over there evaluate the students coming through, and then they try and do I know what your skills are, let's match you up with the assignments. I have these assignments, and you guys will fit that profile. You may not be the honor grad, and in some cases, we may not be looking for the honor grad. We're looking for the person who has the right skill and the mindset to pass the rest of the course. For our enlisted folks, they've already done some time doing management and maintenance of the network as a 3 Delta enlisted person or other AFSC. And their commander has said, you know, I think I can recommend you to do this cross-training gig. Go over and we're going to change your Air Force Specialty Command to a 1 Bravo and put you in the ops world. We've got other folks who, from an intelligence perspective, they've had some background on this, and the next assignment goes to support a cyber or an engineer who's supporting cyber, or the legacy person who's been put through the assignment process to go and support or work in a cyber operation, and they all come together for initial qualification training and train together as a crew. Officers, enlisted, civilians, and some contractors, depending on the contract and the contracting officer's perspective.
And once you've produced that cyber operator, you guys, the Air Force, was singled out on the panel today as being sort of uniquely good at holding on to those people up through the senior enlisted and somewhat senior officer level. Can you describe how that works and how that program operates?
Well, we built a career path for them. For officers, we've got a good career path that'll take you up to lieutenant colonel, possibly to colonel. And for our enlisted 1 Bravo 4s, we've got a career path that will take them up to chief master sergeant. Part of the reason that our folks are getting out and we attrit people is that we have, right, wrong, or indifferent, we give them a tour in cyber or in the operational side of things and say, you did a great job in that, your next job is going to go pull wire. And they're going, yeah, thanks for playing, but I think I'll go work with a civilian corporation and continue to do what I like to do and do best. Hopefully by giving them this career path, we've given them the incentive to stay in the Air Force. The money's better on the outside, got it, but when you're working with the right authorities here, you can do a lot of things that'll get you put in jail in the civilian side.
And are you finding that having that career path is enough sort of in the job satisfaction world to overcome the pay disparity between you and the private sector?
Sometimes. You know, from the Air Force model, we've trained a lot of pilots for the airline industry. So there's still going to be that draw to the private sector, but a lot of those pilots we've trained have gone on to become 4-star generals. and we're looking for the same kind of career progression for our cyber officers and enlisted.
And also with us here is Lieutenant Colonel Brian Denman. He's the commander of the 39th Information Operations Squadron. And Colonel, we heard, I guess I would describe it as regret from some of the other services that they don't have a similar career path here. Is what you're doing exportable to the other services, do you think, or exportable to some sort of DOD-wide policy eventually, or is this always just going to, you know, be a differentiator between the services?
There are common work roles that folks do in, amongst the different services, amongst different government agencies. It's more a U.S. government thing than just a DOD thing. And so there's some commonality in those work roles, at least at a certain level. Each of the individual career paths, though, on the other hand, really are a function of the way the services are composed, what their manpower outlook looks like, and so forth. And so each one of those is an individual story about how they grow young soldiers, sailors, Marines, or airmen. We've been able to shape ours. It's not an easy thing, and it's not something that I can say, to go to your original question, that we know we've got right yet. We're still early enough in this process that we're watching to see if how that affects retention as we go along. We're in the throes of a lot of those changes right now, and so we have a career path. We've had a career path for a long time of a certain type, just like the Army's has a signal career path. But in terms of shaping it towards true cyber warfare, cyber defense sorts of activities, that's a fairly recent thing, and that's something that we'll see grow over time.
Yeah, I was going to ask, how recent?
Really, the specific identifiers, the one, or the change of the what they called the 3-3S, the support career field, to a 17 Delta, is about a 2 year, it's about 2 years old at this point in time. The enlisted equivalent specialties, one Bravo career field, also about the same amount of time. And so we're really only looking for the last couple of years. And so there's not a lot of data quite yet to go back and look and make sure that we're there, but we're starting to collect that.